It's my pleasure to be able to introduce to you a couple of missionaries that we support from Bethany here, and they have they've been in our lives for quite a while, not only as missionaries at Bethany, but actually they went to the school, went to the college that I attended. Pauli Brown actually graduated the same year that I did, and Mike was there at the same time as well, and so we're just delighted to have them. They're favorite missionaries of ours because I don't know why, but several years ago, Elias, our middle son, just kind of latched onto them as we have pictures of missionaries on a missions board that we pray for, and he latched onto them for some reason, always wanted to pray for them. I don't know if it was the ease of their last name or what it was, but he latched onto them, and so when they came 4 years ago, he was so excited to meet them. We were able to, he was able to meet a real-life hero then, and then we just kind of have always loved them because of that, and not only because of that, because of the connection with our college. And because they're missionaries, what's not to love about somebody who's willing to follow Jesus wherever he leads them? And so we're excited for them to come and to minister to you tonight. Would you open your hearts and give a great big Bethany welcome to Mike and Pauli Brown?
Thank you. Good evening. It is good to be here. Man, it was great to, I was about to say as you were praying, I was like, just let her go. Just let her preach. It was good. I was thinking, we'll share a little bit about what's going on in the mission before we dig into the Word of God a little bit tonight, but I was thinking during that prayer time and stuff, just to challenge you in how you can be praying for Bolivia right now very specifically, because our hearts are really heavy this week as we've lost a couple of very dear friends. COVID is really bad there right now, and they just don't have the health care system in place, and so this week we lost two friends in their 40s, young kids, and it's been a really rough week. So as you're praying, man, just think of, if you think of Bolivia, just pray for Bolivia that God would have mercy on that country. I know the whole world needs mercy. I'm being a little selfish in asking that. A little of that goes to Bolivia because it's just been a rough one. We absolutely love being in Bolivia. God made his call on our lives so clear there. I remember I was praying. We served in Costa Rica before. When we first joined on as missionaries supported by Bethany, it was in Costa Rica. And so that's where we went. But we knew that God was calling us elsewhere. And as I prayed, God really spoke to my heart about Bolivia. And I'm going to be honest, I never thought about Bolivia in my life before that. I knew that it existed, which is better than some. Some don't know that it exists. And I even knew where it was located, which is better than probably a few of you in here, because usually people ask me where in Europe exactly Bolivia is, and it's not. It's in South America, in the middle of the country. And some people say, oh, nice beaches in the middle of the country. No beaches, so. It's really cool. It's an amazing place. We love it. In fact, our kids have latched onto it so much so. Our daughter recently, in having one of her moments of frustration, she just said, man, I don't want to be a missionary kid anymore. I just want to go home to Bolivia. I was like, you know, if we're not missionaries anymore, we're not going back to Bolivia. And then Jonah just, our son just told us yesterday, right? He just said, it's the best place in the world, Bolivia. We were talking about the need to pray for them and stuff. And he's like, oh, I'm glad we're not there right now with everything going on. He says, but it's just the best place in the world. And so we love it. We love the people there. And God has given us great opportunities to serve. And as we were really thinking about what is it that God is calling us to do there, you know, our vision statement, so to speak, when we went there was to see entire families made whole with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We just believe that God desires to see whole families, families reconciled, not just reach the kids, but the parents too. Like, just, we just want to see entire families come to know Jesus. But as we were really thinking of what is it that we're really going to do, because I'll be honest, there's lots of need out there in this world. There's lots of need right here in Agawam. There's lots of need in Massachusetts. There's lots of need in the U.S. and in every country around the world. And so how do you decide? How do you choose? What need am I going to fulfill? And I really think it comes down to obedience. So you just trust God. And the words of Jesus that really challenge me are in Luke chapter 4, where he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor." As I was studying and researching that, the word poor there is not referring only to the economically poor. It actually refers to anyone who's kind of marginalized or outcast by society. That really challenges us because the reality is there's a church exists in Bolivia. There's a church that exists right here. And the church does a pretty good job reaching people. But the question is, who are the ones that they're not reaching? Who are the ones that have been marginalized? And for no fault of their own, and sometimes for their own choices, there could be a number of reasons why. And it's not even necessarily that the church is trying to neglect them, but oftentimes they don't even realize the need is there. It happens to all of us. We simply don't know what we don't know. How many know that you don't know what you don't know? And so we really began to be challenged with that. And so everything we do, really, we want to reach out to people who maybe otherwise aren't being reached. So just to share, because you guys have been faithful partners of ours, and I want to say thank you. Thank you for praying faithfully, for praying for us, even if you're just taking credit for your son's insistence and persistence. But thank you. Thank you for your support financially. Thank you for everything that you do to help us to be there, because we really believe that we're not there alone. We get to go, but we're all there together. You know, that's really not much different from everyone here. Even if you live here and you're challenged to be here, you go to where you go. You go to your workplace, to your school, to wherever, but you don't go alone. That's the beauty of the body of Christ. We're in this together so people can be praying together. That's why a prayer night is so critical to the lifeblood of the church. We believe that. And so we just want to encourage you tonight to show you that God, while society might marginalize people and why society might outcast people, God hasn't. God has them in mind, and God has been putting them on other people's heart. And we just want to share about a couple of groups, a couple of stories with you to share how God is using us to reach a couple of groups that might otherwise be marginalized.
So one avenue of ministry that God opened up to us in our last term there in Bolivia was ministry to the deaf. My parents are deaf and have been in deaf ministry for 35 years, but we did not originally go there to work with the deaf. But as we were there, we just saw such a need to reach the deaf with the gospel, because there's not many people reaching them. The deaf are very much so marginalized, cast aside in Bolivia, especially in the more rural areas. And one time we were actually in the middle of the jungle, in the middle of nowhere in Bolivia, and we were at a church conference. At that conference, a pastor approached us because he heard that we work with the deaf, and he said, "Can you please help me? I have a deaf son. He's early 20s. And we can't communicate with him. We don't know what to do with him." They had never sent him to school. He never learned sign language. They didn't know sign language. And he was just, asking us, "What can I do?" So, of course, we were giving him some practical advice of, let's get him an education. Let's get him to the city. And it struck me in that conversation, here's a pastor that's talking to us with a deaf son. And I said, "Does your son know Jesus?" And he said, "No, because how could he know Jesus? He has no language. He has no ability to communicate, nobody to communicate with him." A pastor's son who doesn't know the Lord, has never heard the gospel because of that barrier. And so it's really just such a need. We have started kind of a small group of deaf at our church, and we've been working with them. Our desire is to just disciple them more. We would love to start a church for the deaf. There's one church for the deaf in our city, and it's not with the Assemblies of God, but we know that the deaf there are looking for a Pentecostal option. So we would love to provide that for them, and we would love to just see some of those deaf raised up, called to ministry, and just be able to disciple them and encourage them in that call.
Yeah, and the challenge is big. I mean, they invite me to church to preach at that other church once a month when it's not COVID, but they've asked us because there's just so much need, and the reality is, I tell them all the time, if we're not going to reach the deaf, who's going to do it? Who's going to be the one? But this is the reality of their situation. If a pastor's son can't hear the gospel, and I have a friend, Joel Marbit, missionary in Ecuador, and he says, there are millions of deaf in Latin America who have never heard the good news, not because they can't hear, but because nobody has been willing to bring it to them. That's the reality. The problem isn't theirs. It's so easy when we don't reach people to blame them for why not. Why is it so challenging and hard? But that's not our call. We're just thankful that God has given us some open doors with that. Also, during the pandemic, we were able to put together about 65 devotional videos in Bolivian Sign Language that we just do every day while we were locked down. We were actually in super lockdown. We got to leave one day a week for 4 hours on foot for like 3 months. So a lot of people were at home, and so we were able to do that. I want to tell you real quick just one more story about Mary. Mary is a friend of ours. She's worked with Child Hope. We work with Child Hope. Child Hope is actually a ministry that this church has partnered with for many, many years, from back when it was Latin America Child Care. And Child Hope is very near and dear to our heart. We're the country coordinators in Bolivia, and so we get to serve kids in impoverished communities and give them an education, give them an opportunity to leave poverty. The studies show that education is the number one way to do that. But of course, we know the real number one way to do that is Jesus. So we'll give them the education, we'll give them food, but you better believe we'll give them an opportunity to know Jesus. And one of our schools is near a prison, Palma Sola, and it's a real rough kind of community. And it used to be that when dad went to jail, mom and the kids just went and lived there with them. So we actually have a number of kids in our school who grew up in that jail. And just imagine, what you think would happen to a young kid inside of a prison is exactly what happened to those young kids inside that prison. They've since changed the law, but we still have a number of kids whose parents live in that prison. And so God opened the door for us to go into that prison one day and share with those dads and give them a Bible and just share the good news with them. When we were there, our friend Mary happened to be there. She was thrown in prison for nothing she had done. Someone had paid someone off because they wanted a piece of property that her husband owned. And so she ends up in this very notorious, terrible prison. And we got to visit her one day. That day when we were in there, God just opened the door. That was a whole other God moment because it wasn't even a visitation day. And so we gave her a Bible to encourage her. She's a Christian, but how many know the Word of God has power? The Word of God can refresh us and encourage us. When you're going through a downtime, there's nothing better you can do than to dig into the Word of God. And so that's what we did. We just gave her a Bible to encourage her. And when she got out of prison, I said, hey, Mary, I just need a story from you on that Bible. You know, that was purchased through Child Hope Fund. So I just want to give them a report of how they were able to bless you while you were in prison. Could you just share a quick story with me? And she said, man, let me tell you. When I was in there, I worked in an office with other ladies. They saw my Bible and they began to read my Bible. Women who had never read the Word before. One woman told me, I've tried and I've never been able to understand it, but this Bible I understand. See, it was made for kids. So she was able to understand it. And she said, they began to ask me to leave my Bible inside the office so they could read it too. Share your Bible with us, Mary. She said, well, when they found out I was getting ready to leave, they said, Mary, please leave your Bible here. You can get another one on the outside, but you leave that one here with us. And she said, when I go there next week, they've asked me to bring notebooks because they are copying down the scriptures so they can bring it back with them to their cell. How cool is that? All because Mary saw the value in these people. Because while society might look at them and say, well, you know, they've made their choices. They are where they are. They don't add to society now. Mary knew the truth that God looked at them and said, I created them. And I died for them, and they need to know too.
So another opportunity that the Lord has given us is to work with a unique church plant. We have dear friends who had some property in a community by the city dump. And they saw it as an opportunity to reach that community, and they began a children's program. They were doing it like once a month, and then they just started a church for kids. And this was a few years ago now that they started the church, and now they're up to about 140 kids that they have that come on Sunday mornings, and they walk from all over, and they come without their parents. And these are kids who live in a really poor community, again, forgotten and kind of outcast by society. And so this couple has the desire. They have another piece of property in the same community further down the hill, and they have the desire to plant another church. And we're just excited to come alongside of them and to be able to reach that community, to reach those kids and their parents. And last year during the pandemic, when so many people were unable to work, through partners like you guys, we were able to use funds to do a feeding program in that community, and we were able to help provide food for each of those families, those kids, and the pastors were able to go door to door and meet the parents of these kids that come out, and it was just such a blessing to be able to see how God could use our partnership and in such a difficult time. And so we're just excited for that opportunity that we have.
Yeah, and I'm putting you on the spot. Do you guys do BGMC here? The kids give to BGMC. BGMC funds were used to buy 100 Bibles to give to those kids in that little church near the dump so they could have their very own Bible. And how excited kids are. Man, I wish sometimes I were still as excited as kids are to have that word of God in their hand, to have access to their own copy. See, oftentimes, even if there's a Bible in the home, and oftentimes there's not, if there is, there's one big family one that they can't really read. You know, it's just like this, you know, kind of traditional family Bible. And so, man, they get so excited. And they certainly couldn't lug that thing with them to church and stuff. So they get super excited about that. We're going to pray and dig into the Word of God a little bit. Let's just pray one more time. God, we just thank you for who you are. We thank you for your awesomeness. You have been so faithful. You have been faithful here in Agawam. There are so many testimonies sitting in this crowd of your faithfulness, God. You have been faithful to us in Bolivia. You brought us through some rocky times, but God, you continue because your faithfulness is not dependent on our circumstances. We thank you for that, God. We know that it is in those tough times that we see how faithful you really are. And so we thank you for that. I pray tonight that you would challenge us through your word. Challenge us tonight as we seek to be more like you, God. I pray that the words that leave my mouth tonight wouldn't be my words, but your words, God. I pray that you would reach the very inner core of our being and transform us. Thank you and praise you, God, for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, as we're sharing about some of those things, I'm challenged by a scripture I've gone back to, I don't know, you know, how many times, where I think of how much God loves us. Like, we just sang a song about how excited we are that he saved us. Were you excited when you sang that? I was excited. I get excited when I really think about how terrible a person I am. I mean, I think about how absolutely awful I am and how much I deserve really the worst of the worst. And when I think of the fact that God still looked at me and said, no, I love you. That Jesus died for me. It challenges me. And one of the reasons it challenges me is because it's not fair that so many still don't know. There are still so many out there who haven't yet heard this good news. We have the most incredible news. But how challenging it is. Because there are still so many who it's never reached them yet. Some, as we said, because they're deaf. Some because they're in prison. Or maybe others because they're in an impoverished community and society looks at them and says, they're only leeching off of us. What are they offering us? But you know, our value comes from the fact that we were created in the image of God. That's our value. I always talk about this. I may have shared it the last time I was here because I like to use this example a lot, but we're kind of like coins. And our value, if the face of our coin were to be seen, it would be the image of God. And that determines and defines our value. And so I often like to ask the question, if a coin, let's say we had with us a quarter. We don't carry change around anymore. In Bolivia, my pockets are full of change. I hate it. I'm so glad we've gotten away from change. If I had a quarter, it's worth 25 cents. But if that quarter were lost, how much is it worth? And the answer is it's still worth 25 cents. You know, it's so easy to say, well, it's worth nothing. But no. Something doesn't lose its value because it's lost. What it loses is the ability to fulfill its purpose. See, a lost quarter could never be spent. It could never go into the old gumball machine. You could never use it for anything. See, that's the problem with people, considering that we're like coins. There are so many coins around us that are still lost. In fact, Jesus used this example himself when he told the parable of the lost coin in Luke chapter 15, verses 8 to 10. I'm going to read it real quick. Luke 15, 8 to 10 says, "Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost.' Just so I tell you, there's joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Jesus said, you're like coins. You have value. So the owner, God, is going to search diligently. Or as we like to say from the word, Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And Jesus came to seek and to save not only me, but also so many deaf in Bolivia, or impoverished kids in Bolivia, or wealthy in Bolivia, or your neighbor, or your worst enemy. You know, the thing I love about the prayer earlier, because it so resonates with my heart, is I want my worst enemies to go to heaven. There is not one person I hate enough in my life that I would ever desire to see them face eternal damnation. Which is not just about a fiery furnace. It's not just about a lake of fire. It's not just about this image that we get in our heads about this place. Understand me, the punishment is separation from God forever. I wish that on no one. You know, when I struggle to see the value of other people is when I don't reach them. See, it's easy to reach certain people. It's easy to share the good news with people I like. Let's be honest. That's easy because I like them. So, people who are like me, that's easy. People where I'm from, that's easy. But the challenge comes to who's reaching the ones that isn't like anyone else or doesn't have that advantage. Who's reaching them? When I look at everyone, I always tie this story. Again, I don't want to go crazy because I probably preached it before, but I always tie the story back to the story of when they try to trick Jesus and they bring him, they ask him, should we pay taxes to Caesar or not pay him? And Jesus says, bring me a coin, let me see it. And so they bring him a coin and he says, whose image and inscription is this? They said, Caesar. He says, well, then give to Caesar what's Caesar's and give to God what's God's. See, I think it's easy for us to look at that and say, well, what's God's is everything. We're administrators of everything God's given us. And that's true. Everything does ultimately belong to God. But hear me, what I believe Jesus was saying there was just like this coin has Caesar's image, so you can give it to Caesar. That which carries God's image, give that to God. What has God's image? We do. We were created in the image of God. So I believe really what Jesus is saying is you can give that coin to Caesar, but you give your life to God. Give your everything, all that you are. Because see, that's our purpose. The lost coin can't fulfill its purpose. What is the purpose? Our purpose is to worship our Creator. That's our purpose. How free do you feel when you get to worship? Like that freedom. You know what I'm talking about? That freedom. When you're in the presence of God, that freedom. It's because you're fulfilling your purpose. You're living out your destiny. Because guess what? That's what we're going to do in heaven too. For all of eternity is worship our Creator. And man, it's going to be beautiful. Take all those beautiful freeing feelings that you have during worship. And it's going to be that times infinity when we're in His presence face to face worshiping Him. But we need to bring others with us. Bring as many as we can. And here's the problem is everyone around us has His image. Everyone. Everyone has His image. Therefore, everyone has value. In fact, everyone has the same value. But see, the problem is sometimes we fail to see other people's value. Or we begin to identify them based on other things. We identify them by their sins. We identify them by their problems. We identify them by who knows what. I'll be honest with you. I probably struggle to see people's value and the image of God on them most often while I'm driving. That's my biggest challenge point. And I'm not even lying, especially in Bolivia. Driving in Bolivia is crazy. And there are times, not joking, that Polly will look at me and tell me they were made in His image too. You're right. I ask myself that. Man, if I had the opportunity to witness to the people driving around me in traffic today, would they want to listen? Or did I ruin my witness? I have to ask myself that. But there are lots of people in life. And we have to ask ourselves, are we willing to bring the good news to others? And let me give you a reason why. See, when I think of, first of all, how we're saved, you know, where he says that when one sinner comes to repentance, there's rejoicing in heaven. You know that when you, if you're here tonight and you've given your life to Jesus, the day that you gave your life to Jesus, there was a celebration, there was a party going on in heaven. That's what that tells me. They rejoice. It's some fun. We should be rejoicing too at the thought of people coming to know Him. And I think about that. What does that look like? And Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Romans 10:13 says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. We know how. We know what. And maybe you're watching tonight, or maybe you're here tonight and you don't know how and you don't know what. Well, guess what? I'm telling you right now, Jesus came and He died on the cross and He rose to life again. And if you believe that with every ounce of your being, you really believe I'm a sinner. I've done wrong things. I deserve punishment, but Jesus died in my place and rose to life again. All you have to do is call on His name and you'll be saved. Literally, the Bible says in 1 John, if you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive you your sins, cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Listen, if you're here or you're watching and you don't know what this means, and maybe you're still lost and you don't even recognize you're lost, may God begin to move on your heart right now and show you what it looks like, because you can have that joy. You can have that joy that comes from fulfilling your purpose. You were made for a reason. You were created for a reason to worship your Creator. The moment you do it, you will feel free as never before. Give to Caesar what's Caesar's, but maybe now is your chance to give to God what's God's. Yourself. But Paul also presents us a problem in Romans 10. He says, how are they to believe? How do they call on one if they haven't believed? And how are they to believe if they haven't heard? And how are they to hear if no one has preached? And how are they to preach if they're not sent? See, there's a level, there's a layering that happens there. There are steps in the process. People need to be sent. That doesn't just mean to another country. Ultimately, God is the sender. Listen. Consider it a challenge every single time you walk out of these church doors that you are being sent into the world around you. So be ready to preach. Be ready to share that good news. You could say, well, I'm not very good at speaking. That's fine. Neither was Moses. Didn't seem to stop God from calling him too. Because it is when you share that people have an opportunity to hear. And when they hear, and it gets into the very being of their soul, into their heart, it is then that they can choose to believe. And in that moment they believe, they can call on the name of the Lord and be saved. But see, it happens because they believed, because they heard, because someone was willing to preach, because they were sent out. Do you understand your challenge? Do I understand my challenge? This isn't just you. Listen, I'm preaching myself. Are we willing to preach the good news to those that are near us and those that are far? Are we willing to reach out to those that are hurting? Are you willing to bear with the issues that come with it? Because see, let me wrap up the idea of this story like this. I was talking about the lost coin one day. I was talking about us as coins and all that stuff. And I love that parable. The parable of the lost coin. It's short, but it's so good and so powerful. And I was thinking one day, who am I in that story? What represents me in that story? I'm speaking as a Christian. The reality is, if we go with the real parable, because I do not believe in allegorizing a whole entire parable, the reality is we're not really in the story, or we're the nine coins who aren't currently lost, or whatever you want to look at like that. So this is me reading extra into this parable. I'm going to be clear about this. I don't want you to think that this is what the parable was originally saying, okay? But I believe that God used this to speak to my heart. Because the woman in the story represents God. We just sang it. Jesus is the only one who can save, right? Only God can save. You know that? I can't save anybody. I couldn't save myself. How could I save someone else? Only God can save. And obviously the lost coin represents someone who's lost. But if I'm a Christian, if I already know Jesus, then that doesn't represent me well. Because I'm found. So again, understanding, I don't think this is the original meaning in the parable necessarily. Could have been. I don't know. But I'm not. It's just me looking at it one day. Who am I in this story? And I believe what God put on my heart was that as Christians in that story, we're the broom. It doesn't even mention a broom, right? But it says that the woman swept. And what better represents us as Christians than an instrument in the hand of the Master? You see, because only God can save, but hear me, He chose to use us in the process. How cool is that? We get to be part of something. He doesn't need us. God doesn't need me, but He chose to use me, and He's chosen to use you. And think about it. The broom has like one of the worst jobs in the house. The broom doesn't always have it nice. Sure, sometimes there are beautiful brooms as decoration during the harvest time. But that's not usually the job of the broom. The broom cleans up the messes. It gets dragged through dirt. In our house, sometimes the broom kills spiders. Or hits husbands. No, it doesn't. That's not true. Makes for a good joke, but it's totally not true. No one call anyone on her. The broom has a tough job sometimes. Because you know what it is about the broom? The broom doesn't decide. Think about it. Now, I know nowadays we have these robot vacuums and robot mops, and even still, you got to program them. The broom doesn't choose. When's the last time the broom got up and started sweeping the house on its own? As much as you've prayed that it would. No, the broom goes where the master wills it. Hear me. Our job is the job of the broom. We have no other job but to obey. We get to choose. God, here I am, use me. Or we can choose to not participate. But if we say, God, here I am, use me, we don't get to choose where that is. See, God decided the day that we decided, hey, I'm willing to be a broom. God, where will you send me? He said, Bolivia. But that doesn't make us any different than any of you. That's just where the master chose to sweep with us. Maybe God has called you to be a broom in Agawam in Springfield. Maybe God is touching your heart and calling you to be a broom somewhere else. Hear me. This is our job, is to obey. Our only job is to say yes or to say no. I don't know about you. I don't want to be saying no. I've been there. It's not fun. There are people all around us who still need to know. And God desires to seek and to save those that are lost. Are we willing to be instruments he can use in that process? God, we just thank you. I'm terrible on my own. I am sinful. Left to my own devices, I would make bad decision after bad decision. But God, I thank you for my parents and others in my life who spoke into me the words of truth and who shared with me the good news of what you did for me, Jesus. I pray, God, that I would not hold on to this good news by myself and for myself, but instead that I would be willing to bring it wheresoever you would send me. Oh God, sweep with me where you will in search of lost coins. Use me, Lord. Let me be an instrument in your hands, God. Yes, God, I understand. Sometimes that means it's going to be dirty. Sometimes it means I'm going to have to walk with people through junk. It's not always going to be easy. Oh, but God, I know. When we get to heaven someday and we get to be part of the rejoicing, to see the multitudes of lost coins that have been found and are with you as we celebrate together, every single stroke of being swept by you will be worth it, God. No matter where it is or no matter to whom you call us to reach, God, when we see someone we don't even like and you prompt us by your Holy Spirit, may we be obedient. It's all about obedience. Help us. Help us to be obedient. Help me to be obedient. If you're here, you're watching, and like I said, you say, I'm still that lost coin. I just want to challenge you. If you're online, just reach out through social media or email on the page. There are ways you can reach out. Reach out. Say, man, what does this look like? How can I be found? Or if you're here tonight, come find Pastor or one of the pastoral team. I know they would love to talk with you more. You saw, there's great opportunities coming. Classes coming for new believers. Classes coming for baptism. There's great things. You know why we have that stuff in place? Because God is still saving people. The question for us tonight that I want to ask us right now as we end is, are we willing to be used in that process? Are you willing to bring the good news to those around you? Can everyone stand up? You mind if I ask you to stand? It's the best way to guarantee you're not asleep. I want to challenge you tonight. Listen, I don't want to make anyone feel weird or awkward or anything, but I want to challenge us. Challenge myself too. This is me too. If you're here tonight, I just want to take a moment of prayer, of personal prayer, and I'll wrap up that prayer time. But if you're here tonight and you just want to commit yourself to God yet once again, maybe you've been faithfully doing this for years, but commit yourself again and say, God, I want to be a willing instrument. God, send me where you will. Some of the lyrics of one of my favorite songs right now says, if the wind goes where you send it, so will I. Are we willing to go wherever he's willing to send us, whether to our own communities where we already are or across the globe? If you're here tonight and that's you, I just want you to raise your arms and surrender to God and begin to call out to him right now and begin to commit once again. This isn't a new thing necessarily, but you're here and you say, this is me. Just begin to cry out. Begin to cry out aloud. Just begin to cry out to God. God, surrender. So we raise our hands in an act of surrender. This is to say, it's not my will, but yours be done. God, help me to be a broom. God, you could work in spite of every single one of us in this place. You could work in spite of us. You chose to use us in the process. Let us be willing vessels, willing instruments used by you. God, that we would accept and receive your commission. God, that means we need to be ready and prepared. That means, God, we need more of your Holy Spirit. Oh, fill us afresh and anew, God, with your Holy Spirit. Because I don't know what to say. And I don't know how to say it, but you do. Show me. Let us be sensitive to your spirit, to hear your voice. Oh, help us, God, to practice active listening to your voice, oh God. That we would listen. And when you speak, we would know it's you, and we would respond in obedience to you. God, we pray for the deaf in Bolivia. We pray for these impoverished children. But we also pray for the homeless in Springfield. We pray for the broken, For the ones whose family is going through a split up, we pray for them too. God, wherever you choose to shine our lamps, use us. As that woman used the lamp to light the house, we rely on your light. Let us shine forth your light into the darkness. Not our light. We can't do it. Let us be used by you, God. We want to be instruments. We worship you. We worship you, God. Because you're worthy. Thank you, Jesus.